very simple audio. That's the whole point of podcasting is audio, not video crap.
Yeah. I know video podcast is big biz.
No, no, it's not. Nobody wants to see this fat old ugly oaf. They can hear me all they want, but you know.
I went to a conference a couple of years ago, and they in it they talked about how listening like on YouTube is up way higher than anywhere else. And I was like, "Oh, that's very interesting information," and I did nothing with it.
And I found a, which is actually why I'm kind of in a better mood now. I found a good old fashioned Mike Laidman classic.
The one that you sent earlier, I did listen to it.
You did listen to it?
I did. I do recall that one.
That was 2012.
Good God.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome to Studio 2009. I am, of course, TF2 and Mike, and joining me for our latest podcast approach is a part-time nerd, full-time dad who likes eating burnt popcorn with a classic, his Fist of Justice. It's Mike Laidman.
Oh, wow. You like hit the whole gamut there, just walking one through one right after the other.
That's right. Got to get all that promotion in early.
Well, one of them you can leave out because I don't do that one anymore. It's been a few years. Well,
yeah, but still.
It's part of our heritage.
Exactly. See, you know, you gotta embrace the podcasting journey's first steps on the road to Podcast Avenue. I mean, it's not like we left it untitled or anything.
No, unfortunately not.
I'm still waiting for episode 113. I'm telling you, it needs to be a Halloween episode. Laura loves Halloween.
Okay, you're waiting. You're waiting for episode 113 of a defunct podcast when there are 61 episodes of a brand new podcast to take its place. And you're still waiting for that one episode that's never coming.
61.
61. The newest episode, 61.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Did you fall off and you're way behind?
No. Yeah, I'm behind on my burnt popcorn enjoyment.
Nah.
Yes. So
That's okay. I won't hold it against you.
I mean, I did marathon close to 80 episodes of Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads within like a week.
Yeah, I feel like you know more about my kids than I've forgotten.
Oh, please. That's funny. All right. Getting started as podcasters. When did you discover podcasts and what was the first one you listened to?
Oh, God, that's a good question. I mean... I'm trying to think of what the first, I feel like it was like Nerdist was like the first podcast I listened to. And cause I was never like big on getting podcasts on like, you know, into your iPod. Right. You know, it seemed like it was an extra step that I didn't need, you know, to take, to get more music and stuff on. Cause that's the podcast was taking up space that my music could be taken up. You know what? Now that I think about it, I think the first podcast I actually listened to was Side Scrollers, which is an old Screw Attack podcast that doesn't exist, and Screw Attack doesn't even exist anymore. So good luck finding that one.
I'm sure it's archived somewhere. They always have an internet archive of stuff.
Well, the guy who ran it originally, Craig Skitsmith, he has a YouTube channel that's fairly popular, and every so often he'll replay like old bits from the old Screw Attack days and cringe at them because that was like early 2000s internet, right?
Yep. Absolutely. How long after you started listening did you want to start your own podcast?
I fell into podcasting like entirely by accident. I actually went to school for radio broadcasting and mutual acquaintance of ours, Mike Dodd, applied for my job while I was working at the radio station. He was trying to, He was trying to be the radio station's video game and tech expert, and that was kind of my gig. And my boss, he sent me an email. He's like, "Hey, this guy's trying to steal your gig." And I actually knew Dodd's name from Screw Attack because he was a big fan of Screw Attack, and he participated on their forums and stuff. So I knew that. So I emailed him and I started talking with him, and that's actually how I started podcasting, is because he had me on This Week in Geek, and I was on This Week in Geek for years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even tell you. Like I think now I feel like I'm now easily, though, with what we've been doing with Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, I have the longest single shot of episodes in a row I've ever done in podcasting. But I couldn't tell you if I've done more episodes for Nerds or if I've done more episodes for Twig.
Well, Untitled Mike and Laura Project was 112, not counting bonus episodes or whatever. And then Nerd News, that was at least two or three or four years of the almost 15 years or whatever it's been for. I don't, the math on that is just crazy.
Yeah, but we did commentaries on there, and we also did, I was part of the Twig relaunch when they scrapped everything that they were doing and they only focused on the show. And I was on Terrible Warriors when it was originally a Twig property, and then that went off and became its own thing, and it has become very successful, and I'm very happy for them.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your plan in getting your podcast off the ground?
Which one?
Any of them? All of them?
Yeah, I mean, with when it came to Twig, I was just along for the ride. But with Untitled Mike and Laura Project, that was the first big one that I took on my own. And unfortunately, all of that is gone. I actually do still have all of the audio. I had a plan at one point to put all the audio up on the Burnt Popcorn site, but I just couldn't. It's all a matter of time, right? It's, you know, finding time to do anything when you have a 3-year-old running around is it's fleeting. Like the fact that I do two podcasts as it is, and now I'm guesting on, the only reason I'm guesting on yours is because I had time, because I'm on hiatus on one of them. But
exactly.
Yeah. So Untitled Mike and Laura Project was really just the first one that I did on my own, kind of. And that was because I had so much fun with my then girlfriend, now wife, just shooting the shit about stupid things, that it was kind of like, you know what? Like enough people have told us that when we're together, we're funny enough that, like, you guys should do a podcast. And we just did it. So that's kind of because I remember going to a convention, and a whole bunch of people at the convention were like, "You guys are funny. You should do a podcast." And we're like, "Okay." And we did a podcast. And that was how that one started. And I never really had any like big plans. I just did it because it was fun. And then we stopped doing it because Laura wasn't having any fun anymore.
Yeah.
And then when it came down time to do our new podcast, Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads was the first one. And I'm doing that with my friend who I actually did a radio show with in college, my friend Chris Blonsky. And he was his idea. I hadn't done a podcast in years. And he had told me, like, "Hey, do you want to do a podcast?" And it was, at first I was like, no, because I was kind of holding out hope. That like you are, you're now the one that holds out hope that Untitled Mike and Laura Project is coming back. And I was kind of holding out hope that Untitled Mike and Laura Project was going to come back. And then eventually I just was like, why don't I do a podcast with him? You know, because he's talking to me. And if anything, with both of us having kids, it was a good way to stay in touch and just, you know, keep talking. Because, like, you know, when you get kids, it's harder to keep in contact with your friends. I mean, my brother has two kids, and I heard from him how hard it was to keep up with his friends, especially friends that didn't have kids. And it was like, well, this is an excuse to talk to one of my best friends every week. So that's basically how it started out. And at the same time, we could also trade tips on, you know, getting our kids to sleep or eat food or whatever it was. And then Burnt Popcorn, that was actually Laura's idea. She decided that she wanted to come out of podcast retirement. And we had actually been during the pandemic, because the pandemic was what started it, was we basically just started ordering pizza and watching old movies and seeing how well they held up. And then we just would make fun of them once it was done. And then it was kind of like, oh, well, like, we could be talking about this with other people. And or even just, you know, putting our thoughts out there. So we started a new podcast, Burnt Popcorn, and we started out having guests, and then it just became too hard to organize guests at the same time as do the episodes. So we actually haven't had a guest in since like episode 24. So, but, and as I said, we're at 61 now, but yeah, it's just something fun to do. In this case, it's something fun to do with my wife. I don't even check the numbers. I have no idea how many people listen. It might just be you, Mike.
No, come on now.
I don't know. As long as you're enjoying them. As long as somebody's enjoying them, we'll keep doing them. So
yeah, absolutely. Well,
I forget if somebody's enjoying it. As long as we're enjoying them, we're going
to
keep doing
them. Well, yeah. I mean, you have to enjoy what you're doing. This is one of the reasons why, you know, it took me, again, you had said you were in a podcast kind of funk for years and whatever else. It took me almost 6 years of the 8 years that the Pullbag was online to get you to come on there. And that's essentially how this even got started, was because the Pullbag has origin questions all about comic books. I've now expanded it here to studio all about podcasting. You're going to have to come on the Tooncast one, because that's 30 questions all about watching cartoons, and you can tie that into your kid and whatever else and all of that. So for me, I had to adjust to, well, I love doing review shows, like taking something like Transformers Generation 1 and discussing all 98 episodes. I love doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't been doing that for so, like, I've been in this for 13 years. And after a while, you kind of do get burnt. You know, there's a little bit too much extra crispy burnt popcorn on your plate. And yeah. I'm like, okay, what can I do differently? What should I do differently? And the Pullbag with the comic reading origins things, I feel, was going so well and doing so well. And I was getting, and I usually just do one-on-one. Sometimes if it's a couple, like for cartoons, it's up to you and it's up to Laura. If you both want to come on and do that together, mm-hmm. that's fine. That's great. That's awesome. I have no problem. But basically it's just me one-on-one with one or two guests. And I basically do what I'm doing now and just ask questions and have a conversation and have fun. That's yeah. it. No research, no having to watch 65 cartoons in a row kind of stuff, or, you know, no notes, no nothing.
Well, that's the thing that always is entertaining to me. Like I as much as people like, I mean, that's your thing, right? Like I know I have a friend who's a podcaster, and he told me, like, I was following him on Twitter, and he posted a whole bunch of like, look at all the research I'm doing. And he had stacks, like mm-hmm. stacks of books about what the episode was going to be. And then when the episode actually happened, I looked at it, and it was 44 minutes long. And I'm fairly certain he did like 6 weeks worth of research on this thing. And I was like, oh my God, like that's so much work. Like for Burnt Popcorn, like we throw out facts and stuff, but it's stuff that we either learned when we were watching the movie and looking at IMDb trivia, or it's just stuff that we happen to know because mm-hmm. we've watched these movies a billion times, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you can do a little bit of research. You know, a little bit of research doesn't hurt anyone, but, yeah. you know, and especially, and I will forever say this, and I don't care what anyone says, Wikipedia is your friend. I don't care what anyone says. And yes, in the olden days, I used to read from Wikipedia, and sometimes I still will say, okay, so I get that, because my brain, even though I never had kids, and currently because sadly my wife passed away, I have no obligation for the rest of my life. I'm not children. Cut that right in the bud. But anyway, it's just one of those things where I get focused on one or two things and I can do that. But if I have to remember, like if I'm watching a movie or if I'm watching a TV show and doing a podcast about it, I have to watch it that day, take a few notes, and then get ready for the recording. Or I will plan to watch, say, there isn't one. I wish there was one. I wish they could make it good, but there isn't one. Oh my God, in 2022 or in 2021, December 27th, 2021, the Metal Gear Solid movie is coming. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If it's a single movie and I can watch it within 2 hours and then start the recording immediately after I watch it, so it's so fresh in my head. But if it's like I have to remember stuff, I don't remember stuff so well anymore.
Yeah, when it comes to something like burnt popcorn, we have the you know, we watch the movie, we write down notes, and then we just have our notes in front of us. That's really all it is. And like part-timers, full-time dads, we do a little bit more research. We just, I wouldn't say we do research, as in as we just see something that we think is interesting during the week, and then we throw it into a doc. The other one reads it, and then if it's interesting enough, we do it together. Like it's pretty low research. There's a lot of moments of, okay, well, we have this bunch of topics, which ones are we going to do? Did you even read that one? No. Okay, well, I'll talk about it, you know. So that kind of thing.
For those listening to this episode of Studio 2009, you know, on part-time nerds, full-time dads, they usually start out with, you know, hey Mike, hey Chris, how you doing, how was your week, you got any kid stories? They might spend anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes or so about kid stories, depending on how many kid stories they each have. And then they go into like topical news discussions, whatever they want to talk about. And then that's that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny actually, cause we changed it. I don't say too early on, but if you go into some of the earlier episodes, it's almost like entirely like this show evolved entirely as it went on.
Yeah, so. Well, it has to, because, and this is the reason why when I was like, Mike Laidman doing a podcast? Okay, I need to devour this now. And the reason why I say this, and this is how I always tell people about part-time nerds, full-time dads, this is the one, if not the only, most podcasts you don't really have to start from the beginning. You can start at the most recent episode, but this show, you have to start at the beginning, because it is the journey of Mike Laidman and Chris Blonsky, of them and each of their respective wives going through childbirth, going through all of that. It's a story podcast in the beginning. It you know, it's the evolution of what's going on in your life. Whereas the episodes now are, hey, let's catch up with Mike and Chris this week and see what's going on with their kids and their wives and what's going on in their lives. But those first, I would say, 85 episodes maybe, are pretty much story-based for what's going on in your life at that time.
Yeah, there was a period where we actually cut a lot of the story stuff out, just because it was like, well, should we really be talking this much? Like, does anyone even care about this? And then I realized there's actually a different podcast that I listen to. That is, it's married to the games, and it's about like guys who are our age playing video games and trying to balance playing video games with having kids. And their podcast, not even intentionally, because like I didn't start listening to it till after I was already doing our podcast. It starts the same way. There's the guys talk about what they've been doing for the last week. They talk about what games they've been playing. They talk about what they've been doing with their kids. And I was going through this like moment of like, oh, nobody wants to know what we're doing with our kids. And then it was like, but I listen to this podcast and I like listening to what they're doing with their kids.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't people like listening? If they've been doing it, and they've been doing it for like 400 episodes, if they have people who have not told them in 400 episodes to stop talking about their kids, then I think that people like listening to them talking about their kids. So,
you know, it's just one of those things where there are lifestyle geeky podcasts. Hell, there are just plain old lifestyle podcasts that have nothing to do with geek culture, but we are geeks. We always will be geeks kind of thing. And whether it's video games or TV shows or movies or whatever it is, you know, especially with a podcast like Part-Time Nurse, Full-Time Dads, you incorporate all of that. And I remember in a couple of the earlier episodes, you guys were saying, we're also doing this partially so the parents and grandparents can kind of have weekly updates of what's going on and blah, 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 and whatever else. So you basically have an audio record of when your children are born.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, that whole process of that whole thing. Which do you prefer, audio or video podcasting, both as a fan and as a producer?
I prefer audio. Like, I mean, straight up as a producer, I prefer audio because I don't do any video podcasts. So that should answer that question right away. But I like, even when it comes down to like podcasts in general, I don't watch, even though I was already talking to you off the top before we even started recording about how, even though I've seen like stats and figures about how more people are listening to audio content like podcasts and audiobooks on YouTube than ever before. That's not me. That's not what I go to YouTube for. I go to YouTube because I want to watch something. It's weird because I'll listen to like music videos. Like I'll throw up music videos on YouTube, but I don't like listening to podcasts, and I don't know why that is. Like, I it's not like I have anything against Talking Heads or anything like that, because that's usually all those podcasts are on video. But like, what I tend to do most of my podcast listening while I'm doing something, like especially now, right? Like, yeah. I listen to podcasts while I'm cleaning up my kids' toys or doing the dishes or something like that, right? That's when I'm listening to podcasts. So that's why it's 100% audio for me over video.
Yeah, absolutely. Audio all the way. For me with video, like on my phone or something, I will, as long as my phone allows to do the split screen with YouTube, I will throw something like Clownfish TV if they have a video I want to hear their opinions about and whatever else. And I'll throw that on and I'll sit here and play Candy Crush Soda Saga or something kind of thing where I'm doing something else. I specifically remember this. I don't remember which episode it was. I think it was somewhere in the 80s, but I was in the middle of my PT Nerds FT Dad's marathon, and I had my phone in my pocket. You and Chris were talking about something. I was walking down the stairs in the house at the time, and I went to go start doing some dishes, and I'm like, I can't hear them. So I put it on my Bluetooth speaker, made it a little louder. Okay. I can't concentrate on these dishes and listen to them at the same time, because I'd rather listen to them than do the goddamn dishes.
There you go. That's the review. That's the review for the advertisement. Better than dishes.
What kind of setup did you have when you started podcasting, and what do you use now?
Oh, man. When I started, I had the worst microphone. Like, I'm trying to remember what they're even called. It was one of those ones where it was like, it was just like, you know, Bob Barker, how he had like that one long microphone.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like that. Is that's what I had. And I remember, I think I did one episode with Dodd, and he was like, get a better microphone. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Eh? Cause I'm not used to doing podcasts. I didn't have a good microphone, and I got, oh God, what was it? It was just a USB mic, but it did me very well for years. And when did I decide to go? It was when we started doing Untitled Mike and Lore Project regularly. Like, I think the first few episodes are recorded on the same like USB microphone. But when it was like, oh, well, there's going to be two of us recording at the same time, it would probably be better if we each had separate microphones. And I bought, like, I went all in and I spent like a ton of money. I bought like a mixing board with like four spots on it. And like I have two microphones and two microphone stands, and I have like microphone arms now that instead of using the stands. And yeah, so my setup is definitely a lot better. I got like a nice Shure microphone. I've been debating about upgrading, you know, even because there's so much new stuff out there. And yeah, upgrading some of that stuff, because like there's like really high end like microphone arms and stuff, and meanwhile I have like this rickety ass one that like if I'm not careful is going to fall over while we're talking. But yeah, but yeah, it's a much different setup than when I started, that is for sure.
So heaven forbid, I hope this doesn't happen, because it just should never happen. If your headphones or microphone break down, do you buy the exact same setup, or do you use that opportunity to upgrade?
Oh, good question. I mean, it depends on what it is.
Right.
You know, like, because if there's a lot of cases that you want to just know, like, oh, this works. Because that's what I've done before with certain things that break. It's like, yeah, you know, oh, this, I already know how this works. I'm just going to buy the same thing and be happy and just go right back to where I started. But I feel like, I mean, microphone, I think, is going to work. maybe headphones. I might buy new headphones. Like the ones I have right now are nice. My wife says if I buy another pair of headphones, she's going to kill me because I have too many. That's for sure.
I remember, and the listeners will get tired of me saying this because I say it in every one of these episodes. I believe it's a mutual friend, Dustin Van Coor, good old Dustin. Mm-hmm. He back in 2014, he mentioned to me about the JVC H something. I forget what what is the thing called on here? It's the HARX 700s. He had mentioned those to me, and I was like, okay, sure. I bought them twice. The first time lasted me about 5 years, from 2014 to 2019. And then in 2019, I had to buy another pair because the ear cups were,
right,
you know, rafting away and whatever else. And, you know, the foam on those or whatever, the cushioning stuff. And I'm like, oh God, this is a mess. So I just bought those. But yeah, I've had a CAD U37 condenser mic since 2010. And I try my best to find it every time if I need to replace it. And the sad thing is I figured, oh, I should upgrade because I only had I didn't have its original USB cable. I had a generic USB cable for it. And I'm like, ooh, I should use this opportunity to upgrade. I bought one brand new. Instead of it being the gray version of the CAD U37, it's a black version. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I plug it in. I don't know what I just buy it. It's plug and play. There's no software. There's no drivers. There's no nothing. It's just plug and it should work. And there are, you know, two little audio setting buttons on the front and that's it. There's no mute button on it or anything like that. You have to use the mute on Zencaster or whatever kind of thing. Well, the new one, the black one, was giving me some sort of weird audio feedback and I couldn't figure it out. So I went to my buddy Steve Megatron, who runs GCRN with me, and I said, can you hear the difference? He's like, yeah, no. So basically, I bought a brand new, same microphone, and I just have the proper USB cable for it now, which I haven't had for like 3 years. Mm. So I spent like $50 for a USB cable.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Well, originally when I bought the thing, it was $70, this microphone, but that's not bad because this mic is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So far, did you think you'd be podcasting for as long as you have?
No, I don't know. I assume podcasting was just going to disappear once YouTube got popular, but it's still going and it's, you know, like once we took that, I don't want to say a break because it was over. Well, mm-hmm. when Untitled Mike and Laura Project ended, that I thought that was it. I didn't think I'd be doing podcasting again. So it was kind of surprising to not only be doing one new podcast, but two new podcasts.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So you mentioned your podcast listenership a few moments ago. As a listener, what defines a good podcast to you?
Chemistry of hosts is usually a pretty big one. That's one that I always like. I'm trying to think of what else. Like, is it also entertaining? You know, like it's hard to describe, you know, what describe your taste, you know, and just whatever. Cause I do listen to all sorts of different stuff. Like I do listen to mostly, you know, a table of people talking about video games. But in some cases I do listen to, I don't know if you ever heard of Business Wars, you know, like that's they do basically like historical recreations of like Netflix versus Blockbuster Video and stuff. And it's like super interesting. And I have a few other podcasts I listen to like that too. So, I mean, there's no real, you know, like set thing that makes me tune into a podcast outside of like, does the subject matter appeal to me? And that's really the main thing. Like, actually there's another one that I listen to, 20,000 Hertz, which is just really interesting. And I don't even listen to every episode. I just listen to the ones that interest me. And it's all about like the science or the stories, behind popular sounds. Like they did an episode about where Siri's voice came from, like how Siri's voice happened. They did an episode about how did they create the dinosaur roars in Jurassic Park. Like it's all super interesting stuff. But sometimes
it was Frank Welker.
Well, not in this case. In this case, it was a howler monkey and a baby elephant and all sorts of stuff. But yeah, like it's just stories like that. And how did the Xbox sound get made? You know, like the woo noise that happens on their commercials, things like that. And sometimes it's like, this is the sound we're talking about. I'm like, oh, well, I don't care about that one, so I won't listen to that one, you know? So yeah, as long as the subject matter appeals to me, it's something that gets my attention as a listener.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I think at least as far as I know, because I haven't actually done the research on it, the biggest mystery for me right now, since you mentioned the Xbox sound effect, who is the person doing PlayStation? Remember the old PlayStation?
Oh, yeah,
Yep. Like, I've always wondered who did that.
I don't think they've done that one as an episode yet, but if they did, I would have listened to it. I'd have let you know if I'd heard that one.
There you go. So as a listener, what does a podcast have to draw you in and keep coming back for more? So let's say you find a podcast that has, let's just say, 50 episodes, but you want to start at the beginning to see where they started on their journey. What does episode 1 have to keep you coming back for episode 2, 3, 4, 5, etc.?
Good question. I'm just trying to think of certain podcasts that I've listened to. Like, one of the ones I've listened to, I started at the beginning, like they announced that they were doing it. It was a YouTube personality that I followed for years on other podcasts, and they started a new podcast. So that's kind of one of the ones that I'm listening to the most. And I started that one on episode 1. So that one I kind of stayed with because I was already a fan of the personalities behind it. But then there was another one, the one I was talking about earlier, Married to the Games. That one, I didn't start with episode 1 on that one. I jumped in because that one's a more of a news podcast. Like they talk about their families and stuff, but I've been listening to them for the news, and I could have started over at number 1, but they were at like 370 or something like that. And I was like, I think I'll just stick with it from here. I got the gist of it. But like the what kept me going with that one was because I just really liked I liked listening to those guys talking. Like there was just a good chemistry between those guys, and it was really funny. I remember I was just listening to it, and I'm like, do I like this? And then they just made this one joke, and it just clicked with me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna listen to the next episode. And I've been listening to it ever since. And
very cool. As a listener, do you prefer short 30 minutes to an hour in 30 minute shows, or do you prefer longer podcast episodes, as in 2 hours or more?
Depends on the subject matter. I like longer podcasts when it's like people talking, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if it's more straight, if it's conversational, I like longer podcasts. If it's more informative and like information based, like that Business Wars one I was talking about, that can be short and I don't mind.
Very cool. So I've been doing this lately with this question, and we've kind of already talked about it, where sometimes you skip around and whatever else. But as a listener, do you start at the beginning of a podcast, the most recent episode, or do you just jump around?
Yeah, it depends on when I hop into the podcast. Like 20,000 Hertz was a podcast that had been around for a while, and the way that one's based, it's an informative one. You know, it's not like news or anything like that. So I jump around to what appeals to me. The Business Wars one that I started, I jumped to the story because I didn't start listening to that one at the beginning. I jumped to the war that appealed to me most, and I started there, and then I continued on from that. And I mean, if it's news based, I usually just jump into whatever the newest one is and then move on. There was a period where like there was a couple news podcasts that I stopped listening to. There was one I was listening to, it was daily. and I fell so far behind on it because it was a long podcast. It was like an hour and a half every day. And and I would listen to it and I would, but it was only like five, it was still, it was 5 days a week, but still five days a week is a lot at an hour and a half each. Right. Mm-hmm. And I started to fall behind and I'm like, I'm never going to catch this up. And I just jumped ahead, like, you know, like 20 episodes. Cause I was that far behind. And even then I still found myself falling behind because of just that exact same thing, like the frequency of it and how many episodes there were. So in that case, I started to jump around too. And then I actually found, funnily enough, the Married to the Games podcast I listened to, the one of the hosts on that one guested on the other one. And that's how I heard of that podcast. And once I've jumped to the other one, I stopped listening to the other one. I haven't listened to an episode since.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so I consider anyone that's on a podcast is a host or co-host. So mm-hmm. when I ask this next question, it's just anyone that's on the show. So as a listener, how many hosts are too many on one episode?
More than four.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than four is way too many.
Yeah, three is the sweet spot. The only way you can do four or more is if you have a specific track for, like, you know, you take the top 100s that we do and that we've done in the past, animated series, animated films, Transformers, whatever. You know, you have like me or Kevin or Steve or whomever as the host who asks the questions, and then they'll say, okay, what's your opinion, your opinion, your opinion. So in that case, you know, having more is fine, but if you're just doing like what we're doing here, like what you and Chris do over on PT Nerds FT Dads, or what you and Laura do on Burnt Popcorn, three is a sweet spot, I find. Three is fine. Four sometimes can be tricky. Anything more than four is disastrous.
Yeah, like the one podcast I listen to that has four is somewhat of a structured show. Mm-hmm. So they kind of round table it. So, you know, so it's not really like they're talking over each other so much. So it's manageable. But, you know, if you have a podcast where it's like, you know, four people and they're just anyone who wants to talk can talk at any time, that's when you start to lose people.
Yep. Speaking of which, when do you stop listening to a podcast altogether?
In some cases, it's when I find a better alternative. A perfect example that I just gave, it was the Married to the Games one. It was a gaming podcast, a gaming news podcast I was listening to, and it was daily. And part of my problem with it was that they were doing this thing where they were rotating hosts. Like, they have a lot of guest hosts. And the main reason I started listening to it in the first place was because of who was initially hosting it. And then that guy just stopped appearing. Like, they'd go by like 15 episodes and he wouldn't be on it once. And it was like, okay, well, like, I feel like I'm starting to lose this podcast and I'm kind of getting done with it. And then this other guy popped on the podcast and he was like, hey, this is the podcast I'm on. It's Married to the Games. And, you know, we're a bunch of 35, 40 year old guys who try to balance life and gaming and with kids and the wives. And I'm like, that's literally what I do every day. Like, this is now suddenly, because that's the other thing. The people who were hosting the other show were all young, single, you know, no kids. It was like, I don't relate to this anymore, you know? So it was kind of like, for me, it was easy to jump to that other podcast because I related to it more. These guys on the other podcast I'm talking to or listening to, they're like, oh yeah, I jump from one game to the next because I have nothing to do and nowhere to go. And then it's like this other podcast that I'm listening to, they struggle to get, you know, oh, what game are you playing this week? What one game are you playing this week? Because you have no time to do anything else because you have, you know, dance recital or something to go to this week. And that's what life is like for me now. So I relate way more to that than I do to what was going on in the other podcast.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, it's like, you know, like I've told you before off air, it's like, hey, Mike Lidman's doing a podcast. I remember when I used to love listening to Mike doing a podcast. And it's like, it doesn't matter. the way I look at it, and like when you and Chris tell stories about your kids or what's going on or whatever it is, I'm like, I love listening to these guys because I don't have to deal with any of that stuff. What podcasts are you currently listening to?
I've already mentioned Married to the Games. Mm-hmm. I listen to Business Wars. I listen to Sacred Symbols, which is another PlayStation, which is a PlayStation specific podcast. Those are the main three that I jump between, but I also will hop on to 20,000 Hertz. There's a podcast that all of a sudden I cannot remember the name of, which is very sad. Hold on. My phone is right here. I can just pull up the,
there you go.
I'll just pull up Stitcher. You know, I'll tell you exactly what I'm listening to. What is the name? It's got pixels in the title, and I don't know why I cannot remember it.
Well, it couldn't be Pixels in the Animation because that's mine and TV's Mr. Neil's show, and that heavily, years ago.
Heavily Pixelated is a show that I listen to. Yeah, it's about people who have had video games help them get through hard times in their lives, and it's very interesting. Like, there's people who talk about like how playing through, you know, a game helped them get through like a loss of a loved one or something like that, and it's very interesting to listen to people like. You know, just talk about how they relate to gaming in a way that's not just like, you know, I'm playing Halo again this week, you know, something like that. Yeah, those are the main ones. I have a whole bunch on here that I've completely fallen off on, or I listen to Pick and Choose. How Did This Get Played is a good one. That's a one where they, I don't know if you know How Did This Get Made. It's kind of a spinoff of How Did This Get Made. So it's basically, it's How Did This Get Made for video games. And that's a good one too.
Very cool. Very cool. I have just added Heavily Pixelated to my Spotify. Yay!
Yeah, they haven't done a new episode in a while.
That's the beauty of podcasting. If a podcast has a specific, because I always set out, like, especially with review shows, if you, like, again, going back to what the Geekcast Radio Network was founded on, Transformers, G1 only has 98 episodes. There's not much more you can do with talking about the cartoon after you've talked about all 98 episodes. So a podcast has a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest thing. If a podcast does end and you find it, you know, much, much later, like, here's hoping, and I know this probably won't happen, but if you ever find the time to put the Untitled Mike and Lara Project back up, and we can all listen to it again on whatever feed we want to listen to it on, and just have it be a historical thing, and that'll be great. You know, we still have all that fun audio and everything else. So, I mean, that's the way I look at podcasts that either are on hiatus or have ended, where it's like, oh, I can listen to all – it's the same thing as like watching TV shows. What's your favorite TV show of all time, Mike?
My favorite TV show of all time is actually Legend of Korra.
Okay. Is that still going or has it ended?
It's done. They only did did 4 seasons of it and it's finished.
Okay. You can go back wherever that show is streaming or whatever, or if you have it on DVD or whatever, if you have access to it, you can go back and watch that show anytime you want. You can go back and watch your favorite episode. The same thing with podcasting. You can go back through the catalog as long as the audio is still hosted. So as long as the audio doesn't disappear on us, you know,
sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. Case in point.
Yeah. Case in point. I'll give you a case in point. We are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back to talk about Mike's podcast production after this.
Buy some stuff.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey gamers, TV's Mr. Neil here. The Gaming Hipster is my personal podcast in which I take you on a journey through my history of gaming, both new and old. Each month is a new topic show in which I bring you my console memories, give reviews of my favorite video games, and talk with cool guests.
People have made cartridges that will actually play Netflix on Nintendo.
I was making sure that I got everything. I was writing it all down.
They fixed that for the third fake prototype.
And that's the first time I remember seeing real animated boobs.
Find the podcast at geekcastradio.com or on Spotify. You can also hear a deluxe version of The Gaming Hipster at ravinghipster.com or patreon.com/MrNeil. For $2 a month, you can hear longer versions of the podcast with after-show segments and stuff too raw for the internet. You also get various topic shows, my commentary podcast, The Big Bad Movie Show, commercial-free GeekCast stuff, and more, all at patreon.com/MrNeil and ravinghipster.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Andrea Littamendi, clinical psychologist.
And I'm Brian Ward, nerd. And we want to invite you to listen to our new podcast, The Arkham Sessions.
It's a podcast dedicated to the fun
and geeky
analysis of Batman the Animated Series, episode by episode.
We pay tribute to the writers and the stories of the animated series,
while also exploring the very real psychology behind Gotham's rogues.
And maybe even its heroes. All of this and more
each week
on the Arkham Sessions
at underthemaskonline.com.
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on geekcastradio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
Oh, hey! I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are ToonCast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy Toon talk, and now we get the origins of Toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. ToonCast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the Toon talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all Toons all the time here on ToonCast.
Yeah.
All right, we are back. And it is time to talk about podcast production. As a producer, do you find yourself listening to podcasts less and less?
I would say so. Like, you know, as I was going through what I was talking about, you know, just a few moments ago, I have three podcasts I listen to on the regular. Once, you know, when the day comes and that new episode comes, I'm listening to it. But a lot of my podcasts, I listen to them sporadically. Like, you know, I'll be like, oh, I've listened to those other ones. Well, I get what's left, mm-hmm. you know? So I've definitely gone from listening. Another reason I stopped listening to so many podcasts too is also because I stopped commuting. That really takes a chunk out of your podcast listening time. That's for sure.
That's true. All right, let's see here. As a producer, are you a podcast planner or are you just throwing stuff at the microphone to see what sticks?
A little in between. There's a structure to mm-hmm. the podcast that I have. So I have to do some planning involved. There's some planning involved in making sure that structure has gone through. Like you said, when we were talking about how part-time nerds, full-time dads is, it's basically structured intro. We talk about our kids. We talk about prominent news stories. We're done. And then but how we get to that, like we'll talk off air, like, hey, how do you want to talk about these? Like, we won't tell each other the kids' stories in advance. We're hearing our personal stories at the moment they're being told for the first time.
I think that makes it better, because that way you each have a genuine reaction of, oh, we haven't told each other what's, I mean, obviously if something, heaven forbid, happens to either one of y'all's families, obviously you would talk about it beforehand and damn the podcast. But, you know, that's what makes it so cool to me, is I can hear in your all's voices when you do tell the stories, it's like, they don't know about this.
Yeah, Chris and I have admitted fully to each other that we have not, like, we have purposely not told each other stories that we think would be funny, because we're waiting to tell them on the podcast.
Exactly. And that's what makes Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads one of the best dad podcasts out there.
Yeah. But then the second half of that show, where we talk about stories, that is like completely structured. We know going in what stories we're going to talk about, the order we talk about them, maybe not how long we're going to talk about them. Like, we just let the conversation go. And then eventually, when I figured that we've talked as much as we're going to talk about a certain topic, then I'll terribly segue into the next topic and we'll move on. But and then for Burnt Popcorn, there's a structure to that show where it's basically, you know, we do, here's the movie, here's where it came out, like, you know, this is what the world was like when it came out, what do you remember about this movie? Because that's the whole thing, we're trying to remember, see if the movie is better than our memories, or still lives up to our memories, or is terrible compared to our memories. So we do our memories, and then we talk about the movie. And like, the only structure to that point of the conversation is we just talk about the movie in the order the movie happened. Like, there's nothing, we don't plan. Laura and I do not share our notes. We write our notes about the movie. You know, we don't look at each other's notes or anything, or discuss how we're going to talk about the movie beforehand. We just have a conversation about the movie, and sometimes we hit all the points in our notes and sometimes we don't. And then when we get to the end of the movie, we give our thoughts and whether we thought the movie aged well or didn't at all.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if I sit here and... let's just say if I sit here and you and I want to make a top 10 list of the best Kojima characters or whatever, or the best Metal Gear Solid characters or whatever, whatever's on my list should be a surprise to you, just as whatever's on your list should be a surprise to me. So that way, again, it's a genuine reaction. Like, I don't share notes with people because it's like, why would I want them to already know about it and just agree and move on? That's not what makes a good podcast. What makes a good podcast is if you watch So I Married an Axe Murderer and you each take notes and you each come at it from a different angle. That's what makes an interesting podcast, because you have two interesting hosts that have two different opinions about it or whatever. And sometimes you have the same opinion, and that's fine too, because you each enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, or, you know.
I like that So I Married an Axe Murderer was your poll.
I don't know. I was just trying to think of a movie that was...
And that's where you win.
A one-off.
So I Married an Axe Murderer. There's so many movies.
I mean, what? You want me to pull out a gold member or something? Like,
yeah, it could be anything. I mean,
that's the thing. Like,
You're still pulling out Mike Myers movies. What's that? I mean, just name a bunch of movies. If I asked you to name a bunch of movies, you'd turn around and you'd be like, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World 2.
Shrek. Just go through the list.
Shrek 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, God. Shrek.
Anyway.
As a producer, are you a one-man show kind of host, or do you prefer working with other co-hosts?
I like co-hosts, and this boils down to my radio days too, actually. When I was in school for radio, we would do the practice radio broadcast and stuff, and we actually had a college station where we did our actual broadcast, like we did real radio broadcasting. And I always found that when I worked solo, I hated it so much because I never knew if anything I said was interesting or registering with people or funny or anything. Like when you have that co-host with you, you have 100% live feedback and you can tell whether if they're in the same room by their faces or by the tone of their voice or if they're laughing, if what you're actually saying is either interesting, funny or whatever. So I've always preferred to be part of a group.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I much prefer working with people because that way I can bounce off of them and they can bounce off of me and we can each throw out our own ideas and whatever. So obviously one of your oldest friends is your co-host. Obviously your wife is your co-host. But in general, how would you go about finding co-hosts for whatever other show you might want to create in the future?
Usually when it comes to, like, I can give you an example for, like I said, we haven't done guests in a while for Burnt Popcorn, but usually when it comes to guests, we'll ask someone like, you know, hey, I know you really like this movie. Like it's somebody we know, like there hasn't been, that's not true. We have had one guest on Burnt Popcorn that I never had met until the moment that they came up on the show, and Laura hadn't met them either. It was, she just kind of threw out, does anyone want to talk about this movie? And it was The Craft and I hated it, but, but it was for the most part, we ask, you know, hey, who do you want to go on the show and you want to do talk about this movie? But yeah, so like, I usually, when it comes down to asking for these guests, it's somebody that I know and I know personally, which is why I was been able to have guests on the show because I know their interests. Like, you know, I want my friend who's really into Bruce Campbell movies to come on to talk about Army of Darkness, or my friend who is really into, you know, Godzilla movies to come on and talk about the 1998 Godzilla movie, something like that. Which I will say on one hand, when you're doing a podcast about, does this movie hold up? If you invite the people on knowing that they really like those movies, they all like them. So yeah, there's never any mystery, never any mystery on whether they liked it or not at the end of the episode.
Yeah, you know, as long as the chemistry is there, that's really what matters. Like I said, if you and I liked Inner Space, you know, we can each have our issues with it, but at the same time, it's okay if we both like the movie. Or what's another one? Let's see. Frequency. Yes, I'm throwing Dennis Quaid movies out now, folks. let's see. Where am I here? Okay. As a producer, do you feel you need a mixing board and all the fancy stuff that would essentially be found on a radio station? Or are you good with a great mic and a set of headphones?
If you'd asked me a few years ago, I would have said yes. If you wanted to sound professional, you needed a mixing board, you needed blah, 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 blah. But there's so much stuff out there now that's geared towards production of content. Because it's basically thanks to all of the streaming. Streaming is so popular that there's so much stuff out there. That you really is, even if you're not a one man operation, there's plenty out there that will work. Like it really depends on what you're doing. Like if you're doing something like you and I are doing right now, I mean, we're not even in the same country, forget the same room. Like all we needed here was you needed a microphone and I needed a microphone and we have Zencaster to do the rest of the work for us. Mm-hmm. And like, all I would have needed if I had just been getting started was headphones and a microphone. That's it. Cause all of the rest of it's being done through that, you know, if you're doing something like I'm doing with my wife where we're both recording, unless I want to send her into another room to record off a laptop, we kind of need that setup to be able to record both of us at the same time kind of a thing. So yeah, it really depends on what your setup is, but I don't think by any means you need the big professional setup, if depending on your needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes in person, like especially with you and Laura, it's, you know, you live together. Of course, you're going to podcast together again. Why would you want to put her on a laptop and throw her on Zencast or whatever? You're going to throw up Audacity or whatever and just record through whatever thing you have there. And you're going to sit next to each other. You're going to, you know, look into each other's eyes and glare when somebody says the wrong thing or the quote unquote incorrect opinion on films or whatever kind of thing. You know, it's like, and that's what makes, you know, certain in-person live pod, not live, but you know what I mean, podcasts to the point of that's what makes those great, because you can be there. But at the same time, stuff like this is also great because we're each in our own space. We each have our own comforts around us or whatever. I have a turtle van sitting next to me with a bunch of DVDs in it now. Anyway, you know, so I mean, it's one of those things where, yes, sometimes in person, which is a question, you know, down, it's this next question after this one. As a producer, how much time do you put into the editing of the show?
Too much time. Yeah. Too much time. It depends. Like, in both my shows, it's funny because we record Zen using Zencaster, part time nerds, full time dads. We originally did the first, I think it's the first eight. Mm-hmm. Eight episodes are done in person. Like Chris would come over after he finished work on Fridays and we record as before he went home. And then he realized, like, if I come to your house after work and record, then I see my child for like 2 minutes, because by the time I get home, he goes to bed. So that's why we started doing it remotely. And Zencaster worked out great. I didn't even know it existed until I had need for it. But the problem with doing it with Zencaster is it introduced more work to me, and it really introduced more work to it because of my own insanity. And so what happened was, when we first started, we didn't even start doing Zencaster at first. What we started doing was we would do like an audio clap. Like, he would record himself on Audacity and I would record myself on Audition. We'd record ourselves, he'd email me the audio, I'd use the clap to sync up, and then I'd edit the show together from there. And then we ended up using Zencaster, and Zencaster records everything very nicely for you. You get separate tracks, blah, 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 blah. Great. But the problem was, is as soon as we started doing the separate recordings, is we started talking over each other, because we didn't have that in-person vibe going on. Mm-hmm. And at first I kind of left it. And then it just really started to bother me, because I'd listen to episodes back and I'd be like, oh, this sounds terrible, because we're constantly being like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, what did you say? Well, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. Like, that kept happening. And it just sounded to me like it was super distracting, and it just really bothered me. So once we started recording with the Zencaster and the two audio tracks, I started going through, and any time we talk over each other, I edit it out, like, just entirely. Mm-hmm. Like, I do so much editing now, like, when it comes to part-timers, full-time dads. Like, if you listen to part-timers, full-time dads, it is pristine. There are no, like, there aren't even any ums. The only times I leave ums is if somebody says it in a way that that you just can't take it out, you know? Like, it just doesn't sound natural if you take it out. Like there's a very obvious cut. If it's still in there, you know, or what I'll do is, like, if we talk over each other, I'll cut that out. Or if one of us is just listening to the other one talking and going like, and adding nothing to the conversation, I will cut that out too. So it's just the other person talking. Yep. So I'll just do that. But then if you listen to Burnt Popcorn, which is recorded in one take on one track with both of us in the same room, a lot more of that stuff stays, because, you know, I don't have the other track.
Stop saying,
Yeah, I'm making tons of work for you. This is how much work I have to do. It on myself is because I say so much. Chris is even worse, but with Laura and myself doing it, you know, I can't take some of that stuff out. It's I can't fix some of those talking over each other points, which bothers me because in some cases one of us will say a really funny joke and then the other one talks over it and it's worthless, you know, something like that. I can fix that stuff in the double record stuff, but I can't fix it in just the one-on-one in the same take kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to find some sort of sound engineer, software guru that could help us create a piece of software that you could add to Adobe Audition or you could add to any editing software for audio that automatically takes out because, oh my God, that's what I spend the most time taking out is ums, ahs, pauses, long pauses.
Yep.
If the conversation, have you been watching Hawkeye?
Yeah, I've been watching
Hawkeye. Okay. So if we're talking about Hawkeye series, because it's only they say it's only going to be a 6-episode limited series thing. But let's just say season 1, episode 1, and we have a discussion and we're both talking and that's fine and great and whatever. And we get to a point where it's a stopping thing or we're getting to a point of transition of going to the next part of discussing the episode and somebody says, and there's a little bit of silence. I will then go back and throw in a piece of audio from the actual episode of the show that we're talking about, because if it's a natural conversation stop point, I feel like I can throw in a piece of audio from whatever we're talking about to say, hey, this is a, you know, here's an example of the show that we're watching, or here's a this, or I, you know, my favorite quote was, this is going to be the best Barton Christmas ever. Not that that was my favorite quote, but again, that's a short clip thing that you can throw in at the end of a conversation.
Right.
We've kind of already talked about this and we've talked about the differences, but do you prefer as a producer in-person recordings or over the internet recordings?
I used to prefer in-person. Like, I mean, to the point of like, I don't ever want to do, you know, like a remote recording again. I do like in person better. I do feel that the conversation does flow a little more easily. Like even it's gotten better. Like stuff like Zencastr has made it a lot easier to be more close together. You know, like when we were doing what I mentioned at the beginning, when Chris was recording himself and I was recording myself and we'd put it together with an audio clap to sync it up, that was the worst. Like there was the chemistry suffered so much because of, you know, waiting for your turn to jump in and talking over each other and stuff. But once we got back into something like Zencastr and started watching, like we started doing video with each other, we were able to do more, you know, knowing each other's rhythms again, you know, like we it picked up better. The episodes started to improve again and they started to be more like they were when we were recording them in person. But I mean, you just can't beat the in-person process versus remote. I used to really be against remote, which is really funny because when I did like Twig and stuff, it was like 100% remote, you know, like how often were I actually there for a recording. But like it's I prefer in person, but I have nothing against doing remote. That's for sure.
I've always done remote. I find it being the easiest thing. I have done 2 in-person recordings. One was an interview with a barbecue joint owner in Illinois, and the other was when Steve Megatron came to my wedding at the time. We did a little podcast after the wedding, and unless my apartment or whatever has a square table, round table, whatever, and the computer is there and people can each sit around with a mic, like I can't sit here with my microphone, throw it over to the side so we can both talk. Like I don't have multiple microphones. I didn't at that time and I don't now.
Right.
So it's like I have to focus on talking to him, make sure Audacity is doing what it's supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, at least with this, at least with the remote, you know, thing with Zencastr, it's like, oh, I think in the hour and 7 minutes that we've talked so far, I think I've checked it twice just to make sure things are doing what they're supposed to do. Cause you know, just in case the internet craps out or the world gets destroyed or something.
It happens.
Yeah. As both a listener and a producer, do you prefer one feed have everything, or should each type of show have its own feed? So basically, you create something that you want to talk about, comics, movies, music, cartoons, blah, blah, blah. Should each of those episodes be on all on one feed, or should they each have their own specific feed for that specific audience?
I like the separate feeds just because, like, you might not be into everything that a certain mm-hmm. one does. Like, I mean, a perfect example, and I'm not going to single you out here, Mike, because I know you guys do the single feed, is a podcast that it's an old Wondery podcast where, like, well, actually Wondery does it all the time. And it really bothers me is they'll put in like an episode of some other show that they're doing that has absolutely nothing to do with what you're listening to be like, I mean, I know they're advertising, right? But like, I listen to the Business Wars show. Well, when you suddenly throw in Sports Wars, you know, like an episode of Sports Wars to try to get me to listen to Sports Wars, that bothers me. You know, so if you look at my Business Wars feed, it's like, listen to, didn't, because they throw in all these extra ones. I prefer to just have this nice clean feed that I can just jump from the next episode right into.
Yeah, I've always had the separate, because again, I have always done for the last 13 years specific podcast topics or review shows. I am not going to throw every episode of the Boy and Girl Meets World podcast onto our main feed where we have all the normal geek topics or whatever. Same thing with this show. The whole point, and the audience knows this, if we even have any audience for this podcast, for Studio 2009, the thing that Steve Megatron and I came up with is, it is anything that is in the audio and visual realm. Mm-hmm. TV, movies, video games, you know, audiobooks, music, whatever. And then I came up with the podcast approach to talk to other podcasters like yourself and have this fun discussion and whatever else. So, you know, this all has its own thing that is separate from everything else. And once you get to 13 years of podcasting, folks, and you've recorded probably over 3,000 episodes, yeah, I'm a machine.
I don't know how you do it.
I have no life.
Apparently.
Have no wife anymore, you know, all that. And it's like, you know, it is what it is. How do you use social media to promote your shows?
I don't. I'm very bad at it. Very bad. I think that really, it really comes down to the fact that I'm just bad at social media in general. Usually there's Chris does all the promotion for part-timers, full-time dads, mm-hmm. and he does it a little better than I do. He usually does a link to the episode on Twitter and Facebook. And then later in the day, there's a reminder in case you mm-hmm. missed it. And then that's usually it. And then Burnt Popcorn, there's usually a tweet and a Facebook post. And that's it. But the one difference that I will say that I do over at Burnt Popcorn that we don't do at Part-Time Nerds, I tried to get Chris to do it, but he's like, no, I don't have time for this, and just stop doing it, was we do promotional videos that go out on, if you're watching on Twitter, or if you see it on Facebook, there's a small clip from the episode to kind of, you know, get you to try and listen to it. Usually it's something that was very funny or something that was very weird from our observations from the movie, you know, just a short minute and a half clip or so, but usually a good one.
I will trade my social media skills for episode 113 of the Untitled Mike and Laura Project.
That's not going to happen, Mike. I'm telling you.
The show needs to have a proper ending. You're leaving us like alphas did, you bastards.
Yep. Sorry. It was just it's a cliffhanger that'll never be resolved. Uh-huh.
What is your favorite topic to discuss on a podcast?
Oh, good question. Good question. I feel like it's video games just because, like, it's a big thing for me. Like, I've been a gamer since, like, I was a little kid. I have a big, you can't see it because you're not looking at me on a camera or anything, but right behind me, there's like a big wall full of games. Like, I have a huge collection of games. And like, I know like a ton of stuff. Like, video games interest me in ways that other things don't. Like, I watch like a lot of like, you know, making of stuff about video games, and I like to listen to, you know, people telling stories about how things got made and things like that. Like, it's like DVD commentaries for video games and things like that. And I know that I've listened and learned way too much about video games when I'm listening to podcasts and the hosts make a comment and I'm like, you're wrong. like all the time, it happens way too often. Like, don't get me started when it comes to dates. Like, I'm not good at dates, but if you have, like, you know, if somebody says something the effect of like, oh yeah, I remember what game that this was, it was this one and it's called this, and I'm like, nope, that's the sequel, the one you're talking about is this one, you know, or something like that. And and it always, like, I don't know, I mean, it's I still listen to those shows, but I'm like, oh, you get it wrong. It's this. So,
well, you know, that's why you listen to those shows, because you can then interact with those people again. Like, the whole, you know, I've written you guys very few emails, but, you know, since, you know, when I was doing the marathon, I'm like, okay, this, and this, whatever it is. And I wasn't trying to write in to correct what anything that you and Chris said, but I'm like, okay, I listened to you guys talk about this. Here's my thought. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing, you know. Again, you have to, if you're and not everyone has to, you know, you don't have to do this. I feel I have to do this. If I am listening to a podcast, I want to be able to, number one, let them know that I'm listening. Number two, interact with them in a way that, you know, obviously is, you know, healthy or whatever else. I'm too lazy to stalk people, so it's like, you know, whatever. I just don't give a shit half the time.
I but like that you're those, that's your, I'm too lazy to stalk,
well,
people.
That's the, you know, that's the thing. Well,
I'd and, do it know, if it wasn't I'm, hard.
No, I'd do it if I could get, anyway, no. But my point is that, you know, you're not, like, some people might send a podcast 10 emails within 2 days kind of thing. Whereas I'm like, I'll send you a 2-page email with everything I thought about these last 80 episodes, or, you know what I mean? Like, something like that, where it's like, you have to interact with them, because that way they know you're listening. They know that you're, you know, the hosts now know that people are listening, and you just need to, again, it's all about interaction. And when we started, I was like, if people listen, great. If we get comments, great. If we get iTunes reviews, fine. But I'm like, I don't want to deal with the people. And now I'm the complete opposite, where it's like, yes, please send us feedback. I don't remember the last time I got an actual email for feedback. But anyway.
Yeah, people tend to not email. I find it's social media or anything.
Yeah. What do you see as the differences between podcasting versus being on the radio?
Music. No.
True.
That's a big one. I mean, it's funny because obviously I don't know if this is a question you ask everybody.
Yeah.
It just so happens I have a radio background. Mm-hmm. And obviously the main difference is, just because I know this is what the purpose of radio is like, podcasts are like having a conversation. Like, that's the thing that you go to podcasts for, is you want either information or you want to hear people you like talking. The radio is trying to get you to listen to the next ad break. That's what the radio is. And I almost feel like it's disingenuous. I mean, it's what I did. I was on the radio for a few years. The whole point is like, okay, well, we have ads that we have to get you to listen to, and we're going to tell you what's going on after the break. You know, the information that you really need to know is after the break. And, you know, so, or the information that they give out is only there to inform you of something to keep you there. You know, like, they tell you the weather so that you'll, because you, people need to know the weather, that kind of thing. Like, nobody's talking on the radio just because I really like talking about X and I'm going to talk about X, you know, like, think of a pot. No, there's no radio show where some dude's talking about every episode of X-Files because he thinks X-Files is great. You know, the radio, the guy on the radio is, oh, he's telling this story because he thinks that that story is going to be the story that keeps you here for the next 15 minutes for his ratings, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you've done any interviews with famous people, which was your favorite?
I've done a single interview with a famous person, and it was Phil Lamar. So that's my favorite.
Oh my goodness!
But it was, it was great. Like I have had a couple, like opportunities to do interviews, and I wouldn't say I turned them down. It's just that I feel like I'm intruding. I mean, I know these people do these all the time, but I feel like I'm intruding when, or I'm bothering people, you know, like I actually had a really great chance to talk to somebody that I'll just say who it is. Like, it doesn't really matter. And I'm sure, you know, is David Hayter. I came this close to talking to David Hayter. Like I was talking to his assistant like every day for a few weeks, trying to set up an interview, and she was like super nice and everything was going really great. And basically what happened was we were literally in the process of setting up a time and day to talk. And the news came out that he wasn't going to be Snake in Metal Gear anymore. And I came to the conclusion in my own head that he probably didn't want to talk about Metal Gear because he was pissed off about whatever was going on. Now, I don't know if that's actually how he felt, but I kind of just dropped it and I never emailed back because I felt like that's what was going to happen. And you know, like, I don't know.
How long ago was this?
This is like 2014.
Okay. So it's been about 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he has the same contact information for his agent, we'll get it set up. It's
okay. No.
Yeah.
I don't need to do it. I don't do interviews anymore. It's fine. I'm good.
See, for me, I always, with the famous people interviews that we've done, because we've talked to a lot of people.
You definitely have.
Rob Paulsen, Maurice LaMarche. Let's see, who else?
Speaking of podcasts,
twice. Yes.
I miss Talking Tunes. That's a podcast I miss.
Did Rob stop that?
He did. I know he
used to do it live at some, you know, in the stuff, but I didn't realize he completely stopped it. Wow. That sucks. But, you know, it's like with the interviews, it just depends on, you know, again, who it is, what it is, the timing and everything else. I've always wanted to talk to David Hayter because I, like you, am a huge Metal Gear fan. I'm probably not in it as much as you are, but between Solid 2 and, what is it, 4, I think. Is it Guns of the Patriots or whatever?
Guns of the Patriots is 4, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever deals with all that stuff with the, you know, all of that. I was not a fan of Snake. I know what Snake Eater is. I know what it is. I was not a fan of the prologue story. But anyway, I don't know. Because I remember we used to have, and I still have these. I have the Metal Gear sound, like the codec pickup sound and then the codec hang up sound. And the exclamation mark sound is my text message notification.
Yes. That was mine for a long time.
Yeah. Because anytime I'm out and it goes off, people are like, what's that? I'm like, it's just Metal Gear in my pocket.
Yeah, I had too many weird looks for that and I stopped using
it. Was there ever a moment, and I know there was, but was there ever a moment when you were completely done with podcasting, and what happened and why was it that it happened?
I mean, I guess we talked about it before. It was when Untitled Mike and Laura Project ended. We just didn't do anything for like 4.5 years. Just nothing. I think, no, we did one thing in 4.5 years. There was a Twig anniversary special where Laura and I recorded like a 30 second, like, wow, 10 years or something like that.
Yeah, 10 and, years at, of Twig.
Yeah, and that was it. That was like the only thing that we did in that time between that, between the end of Untitled Mike and Laura Project and the beginning of the Part-Time Nerds. So, yeah, it was Laura was burnt out. And I was disappointed that Laura didn't want to do it anymore. And I think that that's really what, you know, the person I enjoyed doing it the most with was didn't want to do it anymore. And when that happened, it was like, okay, well, I guess it was fun. And we just stopped for a while. And then I needed somebody to remind me that, oh, yeah, you can talk to someone else and still do a podcast.
This is why I've been doing it with multiple people over 13 years, folks, because anybody can do it.
Blah, blah, blah.
What advice do you have for new and veteran podcasters in the art of podcasting?
It's easy. It's incredibly easy to get into to doing it. I would never do it unless you're... Don't do it to get famous, because I've been doing it long enough to not get famous. And I can tell you, you know, it's some people will make it big and some people won't make it big. The really important thing is that you're having fun while you do it. And if you're don't pick a topic to talk about that you're not passionate about, like don't just pick it because it's the popular thing. Pick something that you enjoy talking about. And it's less of kind of, I want to say work. Work's not the right word, but I think you get what I mean.
Yeah.
If you're talking about something that you really enjoy, then it just flows out and, you know, no time at all goes by. And then you suddenly have 160 odd episodes.
That's right. Absolutely. Where can the people find your shows?
Right now you can find Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads at www.parttimenerdsfulltimedads.com or basically on any podcast service. We're pretty much did our best to try and get on every single one of them. Of course, Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads is on hiatus right now because Chris needs a break. He's a dad of two very young, you know, two kids under three. So he's very busy. And yep. And then also Burnt Popcorn, which you can find at burntpopcorn.ca or on any of your podcast listening services, and that one is done with my wife Laura, who I suppose I should name.
Absolutely. You think you should? You know, absolutely. I think that's it. That's the last question, folks. Do you have any other thoughts you would like to impart on the listenership, Mr. Laidman, sir?
I mean, once you do this long enough, You get to a point where nothing can faze you. Perfect example, while we were doing this podcast, while I was talking, at one point in the podcast, I can't tell you when, and it wasn't just now, it was a long time ago, my cat bit me, and I didn't scream or anything like that. You just get into a flow, and you keep going. I was mid-topic, like I was just talking, and I was getting bit, and I'm like, okay, we're done with you. Bye-bye. Continue talking. You'll get into a flow and you'll just keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for good measure, this may or may not work, but I'll have to edit this out. But here we go.
Oh, my goodness.
Classic. Classic. It's that Phil Lamar thing, man.
Of course, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Yes, iTunes is still a thing. Spotify and any other podcatching client you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio is for the network, @ITS Studio 2009, all one word, is for the show. I am @TFGO and Mike. What are your Twitters, sir?
Mine is @MikeLaidman and then @PTNerdsFTDads and then @BurntPopPodcast. I think it's @BurntPop. Yeah, @BurntPopPodcast. BurntPopPodcast. I think so. That's right.
Say that five times fast, folks.
Yeah.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also search out Studio 2009 podcast over there, as well as Finding Part-Time Nerds, Full-Time Dads, and Burnt Popcorn. Next time, I have no idea what we're doing. I have not planned anything yet. It's probably going to be a movie or a TV show or something. No clue.
Just do a clip show. You're due.
Oh, well, after 13 years, I guess I am. Oh, 13 years, go. And they there celebrate it with a clip show?
Go back to your first podcast and play it. Play your first podcast and then commentate over how bad it is.
Oh, God, no. I've heard that audio in the last 5 years.
Leave in all the noise and everything. Don't do any noise reduction on it. Try not to make it better in any way. And then just make fun of how bad you used to be.
How bad I used to be is I thought I had to be, and I tell the story all the time, I thought I had to be the guy before Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. Today, the clouds are going to move this way, and then the winds from the southwest are going to come this way. No. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Mike Lehman.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Stop hitting the mic.
No, it's to emphasize my point.
You can make any noise anywhere else. Stop hitting the mic. That fucks it up. Don't do that.
Oh my God, you're such a baby.
And maybe even a Spider-Man review. Until next time, I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you again soon. I did the assume again, and I didn't even mean to. It just kind of,
it was a subtle assume.
It though. Just fell out of my mouth.
That's another running gag. We have so many running gags now.